Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah, sack the competition and he play with Tony Dungy. Better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz.
Set everything you need and more. Yeah.
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before. We call him
Big Game James.
Yeah,
Big Game James. Big Game James.
What's up, everybody? It is that time right now. It is Big Game Sports Buzz, the 100th episode, the hundo. That's right. Keeping it a buck, as they say in the hoods. That's right. This is our 100th episode of Big Game Sports Buzz. Myself, I am DeBuff Nerd, Jay Stoggs. Let's go. And of course, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the reason why the show is called what it is. Thank you, Big Game James. That guy, him.
What up, Stoggs, man?
What up,
happy
man?
One, happy New Year. Happy 100, dog.
Happy 100. The hundo. It's good.
Good.
It's good. We kind of just—it's humbling, isn't it?
Yeah. About to follow that. So, hey man, it's crazy because, and not the—we gonna get to the sports, y'all. Don't trip. But just to think back of the us meeting, talking, saying that we need to get together and do something, and now to be 100 episodes in, says a lot. You know what I'm saying about you being able to tolerate my crazy ass, and I do appreciate it.
Hey.
And
yeah,
it's just always making it fun, bro. So I appreciate you. And thanks 100, man, for that.
Hey, man, salute. I told you this, you're probably one of the I won't say nicest, but I'll say it like this. You're a person that, yes, you're a professional athlete, and sometimes they tell you don't meet your heroes or people, you know, of that same elk, because you may be disappointed. Listen, man, you keep it 100, just like the show. That much I can appreciate when you're like, yo, you on that BS, my boy. I can accept that, you know. So you got to accept yourself and accept the people that are around you that are there to be truthful with you. So, no, big up to you. Look, I'm not going to tell you your age. That's up to you, but happy birthday as well.
Appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate that, man.
Celebrate that. So hopefully you got some special attention.
Man, birthday was great, man. Birthday was great.
Yeah.
You crazy. Big game after dark.
You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you like, subscribe, and share this podcast with all your friends, your family, your frenemies, and your enemies, people that love the Cowboys and people that hate the Cowboys. You can come on. People that love the Bucks and the Colts and the Falcons and the Saints and the Rams and the Chiefs. Everybody is invited here. Everybody. This is what sports
entertainment. You kind of went outside your box on that one, bro.
I did, man. It's a new year.
Good, though. It's all good. It's
a new year. I'm trying new things. We'll see how that works
out. Man. Yeah, I can't wait to get to the top five, bro.
This is going to be great.
But I kind of have a new mindset and philosophy towards New Year's resolutions anyway.
Listen, tonight's top five is worst New Year resolutions. I've been waiting for this one.
man. So
I've really been waiting for this one. But yeah, this is gonna be fun. We're gonna do a blitz style tonight. So make sure that you comment. You comment. We always love to see your comments, read your comments. You can, of course, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform any time of the day, working out, driving, eating, yelling at your kids, because guess what? They're getting on your nerves. It's been 3 weeks. So it's time for them to go to school. It's time. So past time. But hey, we ready to get into this?
Hey, let's roll, man.
Listen, if you are under a rock, okay, the New Year's Six Bowls have concluded. And there's some things I kind of want to talk about, you know, when we get a little bit into this. But the first one we got to talk about is the granddaddy of them all, Bama, Michigan, Rose Bowl. Wow. It was, first of all, I'm going to talk about the bowl. The bowl was exquisite. This is the time of year, and this is the type of game that you come back and say, okay, college football, this is it. This is the culmination of it. This is why you work so hard throughout the season to get to something like this, right? So, to me, I was very happy to watch the Rose Bowl and watch Bama and Michigan play in this Rose Bowl. It was a great game. It was a really, really good game. What say you, sir?
I will definitely say I was not disappointed at all. You know, because the one thing I hate, Jay, is when you get down to the college football playoffs and you think that you got the four best teams in the country picked.
Right.
And it's a blowout or beat down. Right. And I'm just like, God. Now I know the teams who win probably don't care. But being a fan of the game and wanting to see, you know, highly contested good football,
yeah,
I was like, you know what? Great game. Great game at the end of this one, man.
Joe, man, I'm glad you brought this up. Yes, Khaki Pants did it. You know, they stole a couple of slides and figured out what was going on. Look, in my opinion, the committee got it right when it comes to Florida State. I don't know if we want to put this in right here, but I'm just going to go ahead and just say, and I think that was my old helmet last week. Listen, half of your starters on both sides of the ball, right, don't play. And the main reason why you didn't get into the playoffs, Florida State, because you're dumb, is because, look, they said that the players that were going to play were not going to play. The ones that got you to that fourth spot, third spot, whatever, got you high, got you into that 13-0, people don't want to see that kid. Okay, they don't want to see the true freshman. Because what happened is what happened. 63-3. That's what happened.
Jay, I don't even want to take away from the Bama-Michigan topic that we're about to talk about, because there was some shit that went on in that game that we need to speak on. But I told you this, and if anyone says I'm lying, go back and look at the last show and the show before that, when I said that we would not get a true matchup of Florida State, Georgia because of the opt-outs, and we didn't. Georgia whipped that ass. Point blank, period. It's over with. Not making no mistakes.
Don't log off, Joe.
Georgia. Joe, don't get mad and run off because the buff nerd spoke his mind. It is what it is. We know that it was nonsense. Florida State should have got in. They didn't. What? Now all the naysayers are going, well, look, we told you they were going to get killed. It's a good thing they didn't get in. We don't know. That wasn't a real representation of what they could have done. Yes, and Bama choking and drawing an eighth grade Madden football play quarterback draw in overtime after two timeouts have been called, one by them, one by Michigan. That's your best play, and your quarterback gets tackled for a loss in the backfield. Game over. Bama got hot at the right time. Bama snuck in. And the better team won. And let's be realistic. Michigan tried to keep Bama around by the blunders that they made on special teams. You take away some of those blunders they had on special teams, that's probably a two-touchdown game.
Probably, but guess what? That's what happened, okay? That's what happened. You could tell me that Florida State should have been in. You could tell me that. You could even tell me Georgia should have been there.
Would have been a better
game. Georgia, Washington, Florida State. Not Florida State, though. Not Florida State. You can't tell me with the strength of schedule and then the fact that you have your starting QB on crutches at the game.
We know what it was.
And then your backup quarterback decides to get into the portal. So he wasn't even at the game. So you got a true freshman starting. And here's the thing about the whole, like the whole telecast. I think it was Kirk Herbstreit who was like, you know, he looks a lot better than the ACC game. Like he was god off on the ACC game. But guess what? He was not even able to score a touchdown. You want to sit here and tell me that Florida State should have been in the playoffs? Come on.
Georgia had a personal vendetta. They might have beat the Carolina Panthers that day.
They would have.
You know what I'm saying? Georgia was on a mission. They had a point to make and a point to prove. I'm not going to take away from Alabama being in the Final Four. It is what it is. We can't go back. We can't change it. But I can sit up here and say that Florida State did not get true representation. And I believe the team in the ACC championship game would have scored a couple touchdowns. Defense would have held Georgia a couple times. Not saying they would have won. It would have been a better contest.
I'm not going to say Milroy is trash, but I will say this. Bama has been very what's the word I'm looking for?
Lucky?
No, I'm not going to say lucky. No. They did it right when it came to quarterbacks. Listen, they recruited well, and you know, when you have Hurts and then Tua, you know, back to back, and now you look at the quarterbacks that they have, and you know, they went to Milroy and sat him, and they looked at what they had, and like, Milroy is the best option.
Well, because they decided to finally coach to what they had when they start having the success and winning, they coach to his athleticism. That's what he does best. Let's be point blank. Let's be frank. He's not going to drop back in the pocket ever. I don't care how much work he does. He's not going to drop back in the pocket ever and become a pocket passing quarterback that can rip it down. If he's going to play at the next level, it's going to be at a different position.
No. I think he can develop skills. I think Lamar Jackson has shown the way that you don't have to be a perfect pocket passer to be effective in this league.
But Lamar Jackson can still throw. And Miro not throwing the deep ball, that's, man, please. All right, we'll see.
Like I said.
I hope you can prove me wrong in a couple years. I don't see it.
The knock on Lamar Jackson was he didn't have a touch when he came into the league. That all he did was run and could chuck the ball 70 yards with the flip of his wrist. Flick of the wrist.
You're telling me right here, right now, that Jalen Milroe can be another Lamar Jackson.
Didn't say that. Did not say that.
Okay, thank you. Thank
what
you.
I said
That's
was
what it sounded like.
Type. It's the type. It's a type. Look, you know, lucky they struggled with South Florida, Arkansas, Harbin. Do I need to keep going? Listen, they did struggle, but they beat Bam. They beat Georgia when it mattered, when it counted. And you can be upset about it. You can shake your head. But it's a simple fact that, yes, Florida State went undefeated. Their strength of schedule, not the greatest. And their starting quarterback was down. And then you have all the opt-outs.
Now, all right. And then, Jay, let me just say this. I'm not trying to make excuses. Going into the year. The ACC had three teams, well, at least two, because they thought Duke, North Carolina, and Miami would all be ranked like top 15. And Florida State surprised everybody. but all of them started out pretty good and then just went, like, Miami disappeared after that debacle and bullshit to Georgia Tech and losing the game the way they did. They fell off the earth. North Carolina, I don't know what the hell happened. They started out six and they didn't even show up in the bowl, Duke Mayo or whatever bowl game it was against West Virginia. They like whatever. Florida State surprised everybody. Clemson was the other team that was supposed to be good. Even Duke, they said, was going to finally, you know, be good this year and be a good team. So early on, the ACC had high expectations.
Mm-hmm. And then
just like the big dude on my 700-pound life that walked across the board, that bitch broke and fell from underneath him, and they just fell. That's just fell, right? But we didn't know. We didn't know that ACC was going to fall from grace the way it did. So I still don't fault it. The system was messed up regardless. And I still think the committee in the back of their mind was like, we have to have an ACC team in the playoffs. And since Georgia lost, we'll just make it Alabama.
I mean, sure. You know, I've always said that there's an SEC bias. They're always going to have at least one. So you have to figure out which is the weakest conference.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's the Pac-12, to be honest with you. This year, Pac-12 came with it. They were beating everybody up. Oregon was beating everybody up. Obviously, Washington was beating everybody up. Oregon State came out, did a little something. Colorado at the beginning of the year. And then, you know, they did what they did.
And people are really lucky that University of Utah's quarterback got hurt.
Yeah,
Utah's
already a hard out. But as far as the game was good. It kept me entertained until the end. And you know what? That's exactly what the committee wanted. They wanted to make sure eyeballs were on the game and glued to the game, and it wasn't a blowout. And guess what? It wasn't. Did the better team win? Yeah. The funny part to me is Michigan, Alabama. Alabama, in my opinion. They ran the ball hard. They had very good defense. And they Alabama and Alabama.
Very physical. And that's what Alabama's lacking. What they've been able to do so well so many times in the past is be more physical than anyone they played. And on that last play, did you see what that 225-pound linebacker did to that 350-pound offensive line? Put him 3 yards deep on his
embarrassed him.
I said, "Woo! Get the syrup. It's a defensive pancake."
Get the syrup. Do y'all really say that?
Not y'all. Those offensive linemen say that. Yes. When an offensive lineman gets you, they be like,
"Oh yeah, you
break out the syrup." Talking about the pancake. So that's what his ass get. Because I know he done woo-hawed somebody and told them to get the syrup out. And his ass got drizzled with syrup.
He did.
Hey, and it was Aunt Jemima. Ooh. I know they done changed the name for political correctness. That was the Aunt Jemima for that log cabin.
That's good. That's good. But I mean, you have to admit though, Michigan was the better team and they won. They deserve to go to the national championship.
They were. And it's so funny. Did you get a press conference when the question came up about Harbaugh leaving? It's like, goddamn, lady, can you let him get through the moment? Can you let him get through everything? Because, you know, on ESPN last week, all of them are talking about how Jim Harbaugh hired the same agent as Adam Schefter and all these other people. Mm-hmm. And this guy's pretty much in the business of dealing with, you know, TV contracts and then NFL GMs for head coaches.
Right.
What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't care. I just want to see another good game when Washington and Michigan face off on Monday. Yeah. That is all I want. I don't care if Jim Harbaugh go from NRG Stadium in Houston to Carolina or wherever else he might want to coach and get to work. I don't give two damns about what he does after this championship game. But I just want to see a championship game that was as entertaining as the Rose and the Sugar Bowl, which we have not talked about yet.
And it's a perfect segue into the Sugar Bowl. Washington, Texas. Listen, I thought Washington was trying to just lose this game.
Oh, they tried to get they tried to old hell
no. Did not want to go play Michigan, whatever. It was insane to me. Like, okay, like they were rolling the whole game. It did not look like Texas was in control at all. They were always playing from behind, but in the last 2 minutes, it's like, you know what? Let's run the ball and let's hurt our running back. And let's not get a first down. And we'll punt it away.
Well, even that, the running back getting down, laying down on the field for the injury, now they have to stop the clock.
You stop the clock.
Another 25 seconds would have run off the clock, and Texas would have gotten it back with like 10 seconds. They would have even got down to the red zone to try for that last touchdown.
Why did they not kneel? I mean, I get that they had timeouts, but.
No, but they didn't at the time. Texas had no timeout. So instead of running that play and your guy getting hurt, they could have taken the knee.
Texas
They could have taken an EJ. You're right. Yeah. They could have taken an E. The clock didn't stop because Texas used the timeout. The clock stopped because of the injury.
Yes.
They made Texas use those last two timeouts on that drive.
They did.
So now on that fourth, I mean on that third down.
Just take a knee. Just, you know, kind of run back a little bit. Okay, take a knee.
Now the way their running back is when he's not hurt. Maybe he could have gotten the first down and go ahead and ice the game and put it away. But, maybe. And that thing too, young man, I know you were hurt because you laid down on the ground. You got a handstand. You got to crawl. You got to do a handstand and walk off on your hand. You cannot lay down right there and let the referee stop the clock. You cannot. Not that situation. Yeah. But it comes down to coaching. Either way you look at it.
Because now he's injured for the championship game.
Well, they say it's going to be a game time decision, and up to him is what they said today. The boy could not walk off the field.
No.
Put your ass and get to play. Hey, and I know it's probably your last college game. I know you want to play. It's the Natty. Hey, man, put your jersey on, put that walking boot on, and go cheer for your team because you do have an NFL future ahead. So yep. I wouldn't let him risk it if I'm the coach, but that's easy for me to say because I know as a player – I'll be trying my best to get my ass on the field.
Well, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's just one of those things, again, you just look at it and you say, okay, well, wait.
Yeah, exactly, Jay. You're right.
What are we doing here? So, I don't know. I'm questioning this guy. And when he yours was disappointing. Listen, so they were talking about before the game, Arch Manning. Was getting a lot of press. And they showed the picture. And the picture was great. The picture is amazing, right? Quinn Ewers is sitting there available and no one is talking to him. Not one reporter. They're all over by Arch Manning. It's fantastic because this is the first time, you know, they get availability for him because he's a freshman and he's just sitting on the bench.
But Jay,
what's up?
But that was that media day though. Yeah. The whole thing. And this, don't take this wrong, anybody. If you may hear this, you may not. This is why certain people that cover certain sports show that they're nothing but fanboys.
Mm.
Because clearly Quinn Ewers is the guy that got Texas to where they were.
Yes.
He's the guy that deserved the interviews, but now, and then my wife said, oh my God, look at that. What's going on? Why didn't I said, you got to think. I said, they are back in his hometown of New Orleans and where he's from. So a lot of that press was probably local press as well. So they're going to naturally interview him, Arch Manning and everything else. But Joe, to your point, Quinn Ewers did not impress in that game. He had some good moments. I think the one time when he hit his head on the turf, he may have had a mild concussion more so than they're letting us know. Because after that moment, when he got hit, fell down, fell backwards, hit his head down on that turf, he was not the same for the rest of the game at all. So I believe that there was more going on with Ewers than we know about. I believe that he got hurt. And still, though, there's nothing for him to hang his hat on. for him. This kid made Texas relevant again with the pieces that go around him.
Yeah.
And him at quarterback. Because think about it, he got hurt last year with a collarbone and missed all those games. I think he got hurt against Alabama. So he had, you know, he missed a big part of the year. What's his name? Malik Willis, not Malik something. Who he's going now. He left. He went in the portal. He's at Duke. But Malik came in last year. Malik Monk, Malik somebody, whatever. He's gone now. They were gonna have to go to Arch Manning this year. They need him. But we'll see. If your granddaddy was the man, both your uncles was, you know, Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
People gonna talk to this cat, regardless, deserve it or not. Sure. It was comical though, Jay. To really where it was almost I had OH written down with that. I found something else. I took that off. But it was real close to be some almost oh hell no-ish.
Oh yeah. No. It was. But I will say this. Texas has and Sarkisian has done a great job to bring Texas back. And you said it correctly, to make them relevant again. Because when you look at the big tight end, I say he's a receiver, Sanders. I absolutely love him.
Dude, you should have seen that cat in high school, Jay.
Man.
He played defensive end and tight end and receiver in high school. Was a monster on both sides of the ball.
And he's still a monster. So I think you'll see him on Sundays definitely playing. I like their defense. I just liked a lot of things that they did. But to your point, Ewers did not. Yeah, and I think you can point to that. You know, he may have been mildly concussed enough to where he could just say, hey, you know what, I can play, but I'm not sure what I'm doing out here, right? Not all the way. So it was disappointing, but it was still a good game. I feel like UW was trying to give the game up.
They did late. But they showed, Jay, they got all three of those wide receivers are NFL receivers, all first-round picks. And then Michael Penix, like, nothing against Jaden Daniels. I know his stats were beyond amazing, but to me, that's watching Michael Penix make some of those throws he made, that's why I had him as my highest favorite. Something came across my screen. That's... Woo! And I'm only drinking water. But that's what Michael Penix Jr. really showed me what he could do, and he because that defense of Texas was pretty solid all year.
Yeah, it's been nice. I was very surprised that Jaden won the Heisman. To be honest with you,
I wasn't. His numbers were and. He has the rushing yards on top of it as well.
I hear you, but your team doesn't win.
Hey, 9-3. What were they? 9-3? 9-4?
Were they that much?
Yeah, I thought LSU had 9 wins. I might be wrong. You're gonna make me look it up here in a second.
No, I think I did. I mean,
now you know the last time Michael Penix faced Michigan, he had 30 completions. On 48 attempts, 353 yards and 3 touchdowns. Last time he faced him, now I know this Michigan defense is a little bit different. And that was a few years ago at Indiana. But I am really interested to see if that offensive line that was rated the best offensive line.
Yes.
Goddamn, Joe, you just had to tell us that part. The best offensive Washington's offensive line was rated the best offensive line in college football. And we're going to see if they can slow down that Michigan front four because they were able to get pressure on Milroe and make plays in the backfield against Alabama that a lot of teams haven't made this year against Washington. Mm-hmm. Penix hasn't been sacked a lot. He's not a running quarterback. He's just mobile enough. He showed some things against Texas to get open and get the ball out of his hand. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, that's for sure. So previewing Washington and Michigan. What do you see happening throughout the game? And then we'll get the prediction. But what do you see happening in the game between Washington and Michigan? Do you think it's going to be a shootout? Do you think it's going to just be a slugfest? with the defenses. You know, all three phases have to show up.
I don't think Michigan's built to be in a shootout. I could be wrong. I mean, they run the ball well. JJ McCarthy, I like him. I do like him. I like the young quarterback orgy they have. That's from Saxey as well. He gets a couple plays, a couple packages every once in a blue moon. I honestly think the game is going to be predicated for Washington. It's going to be if they can protect and slow down that Michigan front four, Washington will have their way with Michigan if they can protect the quarterback and he has time to sling the ball. Because he puts the ball in places like nothing I've ever seen before, Jay. But if Michigan, because Michigan can run the ball. The Washington defense is okay. They're okay. But I don't know, man. I'm pulling for Washington. I really am. But I thought Bama was going to beat Michigan, and I was wrong. I mean, I wanted Michigan to win, but I said Bama was going to find a way to win because I thought they had the experience. Michigan showed me something on defense, like Joe just said, being aggressive, being physical, and trading blow for blow. Like, they were never scared or never worried about anything that happened. They have the right mindset right now to be a national champion. They have the right mindset to be a national champion. So I just think that it's going to make for a good one, and you can't count out those Wolverines, man.
No, and I think the adversity that they've been going, that they've gone through, and they talked about this, you know, at the ceremony, as well as J.J. McCarthy talked about it when he was being interviewed right after the game, you know, just it binds a group of people together even more when you have to go through adversity, when you have to go through something together. So I think very close, not to say that Washington isn't, but I think it's a us versus the world mentality, which helps. And you know, you have your coach back, and so I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a slobber knocker. I think it's going to be one of those very physical games, and if it's a very physical game, then I give it to Michigan. You know, it was actually kind of neat seeing Michigan, like I said, just bully Alabama, and usually Bama is the bully. So to see them in that state, to see that happen, it was something else I'd never seen before. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to see. I just want it to be a good game. I think everyone wants it to be a good game. Another reason why they didn't want FSU is they didn't want another TCU. You know, on in any level at any game, they did not want a TCU, and that's what the committee is scared of. Is having another TCU.
Yeah, they never won another. What did Georgia beat them?
Oh man, it was like 65-2 or something like that. I don't know, something stupid, something crazy. Yeah,
but it was nasty. You're right. They didn't want to see that again. I told them
they don't want that again. They don't want that again. They don't want that again. So yeah, looking forward to it. Who you got? Let us know in the comments. We definitely want to see who you're rolling with, and not even who you're rolling with. Who do you think is gonna, you know, show out in Houston and win it all? What do you think about that too? I know we got to go into the different things, but the national championship being not at a bowl, but it's like its own game at a, you know, random NFL stadium.
I don't like it. I think it takes away from the tradition of those bowl games that's supposed to be played in a spot that's usually, I mean, but I don't like it, but I get it. And Houston, I don't know why right now. Houston is a city that is booming, Jack. People love the city of Houston right now. And if anybody from Houston, y'all can have that motherfucker. Y'all can have that mother lover right there. The traffic, everything overpriced, take forever to get places.
Yeah.
I'm good. I am good on Houston. Like,
oh man.
But awesome. If you were ever there close to Third Ward, go to a spot they got called Stuff. The chicken wings are stuffed with dirty rice or mac and cheese or boudin. It's phenomenal. It's good stuff.
It's phenomenal.
And the Breakfast Club. All the reasons I ever go down to Houston.
Phenomenal. Breakfast Club is great. There's a couple other spots I'll tell you about. But yeah.
Yeah.
Good eating down there.
Great.
Another one. Okay. Trill Burger. Very nice.
Man, the line for Trill Burger was around the block.
You have
when
to
I went go, down there.
You have to go at a certain time in a certain
I don't believe that. The time I went down, Jay, they had just been open like a week or two, like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I let it die down a little bit, let them work out the kinks. Because I went maybe a month, 2 months ago.
Okay.
And I went in October. I went in October.
Okay.
And so able to walk in, order food. Food came right out, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Shout out to Bun B. Trill Burgers, baby.
Let's do it. Fifth
That's
Coast.
Gangsta. That hit with Sean Kingston, dog. I love that song.
Look, let's get into some NFL talk here. I love these bullet points that you came up with. I'm just going to go right down them and let's go shotgun them. First one, biggest threat in AFC to Baltimore. Go.
Hey, man. I've been kicking this around. They've been talking about this on TV left and right. And don't laugh at me, Jay. When I came up with this answer, the biggest threat to me, to Baltimore, is Baltimore. I think Baltimore can only get in their own way right now. I have no confidence in any other AFC team. I say Cleveland, right, because of their defense. But then what is Joe Flacco really going to do against a better defense? The Browns haven't played against a defense as good as the Ravens since he's been the quarterback, right?
Nice.
Wallace. Buffalo, I don't believe in. Josh Allen is too inconsistent. Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, yeah, right. So, realistically, I don't see anyone in the Dolphins. The Ravens just beat them 57-19 at the crib, bruh. At the crib.
Yeah, that was tough. Actually, I think it is Buffalo. I think Buffalo right now is riding the wave of momentum. They're the hottest team in the AFC besides Baltimore.
You believe? Okay.
I got you. I look around the league, and for the same reasons, for the same teams that you just talked about, I'm with you on that. The Chiefs, it's a disaster. And I believe it's all due to Bienemy not being there.
Big time. Big time. I believe that as well, man. I think they really miss Eric Bienemy.
Absolutely. You need a voice in that locker room, on the field, is going to get into somebody's ass and say, hey, you like playing? Catch the ball. You don't like playing? Keep doing what you're doing. Right. We got a spot for you on the practice squad, actually packing your shit and leaving. I mean, that's I think right now, yeah, it's going to be tough for a team to beat Ravens with the health of Lamar. I agree. It's kind of weird because you didn't see them coming for the most part if you weren't a Baltimore Ravens fan or if you weren't paying attention to the AFC North, because you said, okay, well, you know, hey, you got Cincy and you got Cleveland. Right. And they're battling back and forth. And then when Joe Burrow goes down, you're like, well, look at Cleveland.
Assume Pittsburgh would be better than they are. I think the Ravens just got disrespected all year.
Yes. I can agree with that.
They got disrespected all year, pretty much.
But I would definitely say Buffalo. Biggest threat to in the NFC to the 49ers.
I'm going to tell – when I say mine, Jay, you might not believe it. Dallas Cowboys, bro. The Dallas Cowboys are the biggest threat to the – and I'm always one of those people. Everyone will be like, but San Francisco already beat Dallas down. That's why you best believe if they meet up again, it's going to be a much tighter game. Or even Dallas could even come out victorious. About a month ago, I may have said Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But Philadelphia is running down the street, about to run through the fire with gasoline draws on. They asked about to catch on fire and implode. They lost both of their coordinators after last season. Mm-hmm. They both are now head coaches. It's showing big time. Sirianni acts like a child sometimes on the sideline with the wins and everything else. And I think the karma's kind of catching up with him. And the one thing to me, Philadelphia's hurting in the secondary, but you made Matt Patricia defensive coordinator in the middle of the season. And this dude, to me, has always been overrated as hell. Yeah. You are showing me that you don't know what to do or know how to fix it. So I think your Dallas Cowboys are the biggest threat to the 49ers in the NFC, dog.
Here's my issue with that is that Dallas has proven they can't win on the road against good teams. They have a blueprint that, and I talk about San Francisco, and has proven to win against these Dallas Cowboys. My issue also is, as much as I love Dan Quinn, I hate the fact that he, for some reason, can't seem to adjust defensively in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, when it's when you're saying, hey, look, they're running on you. They're running right here on you. They're running off tackle on you, and they're still gaining 12 yards. They're still gaining 15 yards.
Well, who's a bigger threat than the Dallas Cowboys, Jay, in the NFC to the 49ers?
If they make it.
I see what you're, man, I see what you're doing, though. You are trying to soften the blow of your team disappointing without speaking up on it too much. I really think that's what you're doing. I don't think that you're giving your Dallas Cowboys enough credit for what they have done this year. Now, they've had some disappointments to some teams like what the, and I'm gonna tell you another thing I need from your Cowboys when we get down there to this Buccaneer bullet. I ain't gonna say it right
this
now.
Is true. This is true, Wallace. This is true. Same thing goes for if the Niners are hurt, if somebody's not playing and they're not are they off, it's done. It's a wrap for them. They if for some reason they can't seem to get out of it. That's not what I'm doing, Joe. Joe, why are we doing this tonight? Okay, I don't understand.
Joe, he trying to, hey, he dancing to make himself feel better, just in case.
I think if I had to choose, I'm actually kind of scared of the Rams.
Damn, you know what though? You're not the only person to say that. But you're gonna say every time we talk about your boy, Matthew Stafford, a.k.a. Pat Stafford, whatever the hell you call him.
Yeah.
You can't do it. He can't do this. He can't do that.
He can't.
So if the Rams are going to win, you have to think that Stafford has some kind of magic left in him to be a threat in the NFC. Man. If you believe that team could be a threat to the 49ers.
Possibly. Mm. Possibly. It hurts because I want to believe Dallas can do it. I just can't.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the bullshit gong. I'm not buying anything that Jay Scoggs is saying right now. Don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Look, Bills, Dolphins, who you got? Let's move on.
Hey, man, the Miami Dolphins have showed me that they are inconsistent. Hmm. And they play on the road. The game's in Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
I think Buffalo's going to win this game, dog. Miami's not played well on the road. And Joe, don't hate me, man. I want your fans to go up there and win. I ain't from Missouri, but you're going to have to show me.
It ain't Miami, it's Buffalo. I just told you that. Well, game's in Miami.
The game is in Miami?
Yeah. I still think it's Buffalo. Yeah, we play good out, you know. That's what I'm saying. It's on the road. So if we play San Francisco on the road, which we'll have to because they're the number one seed, we're going to lose. We'll get the first game at home, win the division because we got first, we got to beat the Commies.
You don't sound excited, man.
It's the last game of the season, Dolphins, Fins, which is good. That's how you should end it. That's going to be a great game. Like I said, I'm still going with the Bills, though. Bears got the number one pick. What do you think they should do, Big Game?
Hey, man, I am, first and foremost, this is a tough situation. It's laughable because Carolina gave away everything to move up to number one to where the Bears are sitting here with a plethora of picks, and now they're going to have the number one draft pick. A lot of people might hear me say this and not like what I say. I do not believe – everyone's making a big hoopla about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams this year showed me that I don't know if I'm the Bears. I don't know if I gamble on him. I think I keep Justin Fields and get Marvin Harrison Jr., another wide receiver, and dress that offensive line in this draft with all these plethora of picks that we have. But if I'm the Chicago Bears, I keep Justin Fields as my quarterback. Because hey, you got the fifth-year option on him you can pick up this year. There's going to be another wave of quarterbacks next year. Everyone says Caleb Williams is a once-in-a-lifetime talent and a generational talent. You know how many quarterbacks they said that about that didn't pan out in the NFL?
Every year.
Been a lot of them. Every year. To me, I keep – Justin Fields has played well. And you've done nothing to help surround him with anything since he's been there.
Right.
Until you got DJ Moore this year. Until you got DJ Moore this year. So I think you get an offensive line, you get another receiver weapon, and you see really what Justin Fields can do. I think you keep him. If I'm the Chicago Bears, I keep him. And then if, you know, Caleb Williams turns into that dude later on, I would be like, oh, shit, we could have had it. Because everyone says that you cannot pass on him like you did Mahomes 5 years ago when they took Mitchell Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I said I don't think the Bears are going to let Fields go. They can add top talent around him. And their defense,
I'm right there with you, Wallace.
Defense is solid. If they go and get Harrison, you get Harrison on one side, Moore on the other. You shore up that offensive line because they damn sure know they need it.
And then you can get the tight end out of Georgia, Beck, too. I think that's the name.
You know, either him. I think Sanders is staying this year. If he's not, then you go get him from Texas. That's definitely.
I don't think he can come out yet.
Is he sophomore?
Is he a junior or sophomore?
I think he's a junior.
Oh, he can come out then because if he's a junior, he's a true junior. Yeah. Okay.
I think because he played last year, so I think he's
He's class of 2. I'm about to ask my son because, like I said, he played against my son in high school. Okay. But yeah, if he comes out, you're right.
He's right. Yeah. So, I mean, you can do that. You definitely have to show up that defense. You need a ball hawk on defense because you have to get turnovers. And that's one of the things I look at Chicago's defense and say, hey, if you want to have Justin Fields more effective, he has to have the ball in his hands all the time, which means, or as much as possible, which means that you have to have a defense that is a ball hawk.
Thanks, Wallace. I don't know why I messed Bowers' name up. I called him the quarterback.
But, yeah. So, I think you move down. You trade the number one pick. You move down, get some more picks. And
that's what I would
go get. Yeah, go get your receiver. Go get your a lineman.
Yeah,
get a tight end. Get the tight end in the second round. And just shore up your team around Justin Fields, and get your. How about this? Get you either a head coach or an OC that can figure out how to best utilize Justin Fields.
Well, now Jay. This is the only way I think that if they get a new head coach, that means I think they're going to move away from Justin Fields. Because the GM, he wasn't in the GM that drafted Justin Fields. They right. made some different moves. If he is going to move, then I think the new coach will probably want a clean slate and start over, which I don't think they should, but I think that, you know, something like that plays a part, plays into it if they
So here's the thing, when people talk about, myself included, you know, getting a new quarterback, right? They need to cut this quarterback, or they need to trade this quarterback. And then I always ask the question, well, for what? What you trading for? What you cutting for? You cutting for what? What do you get? Right? So, I mean, the reality is there are not a lot of good quarterbacks out there in the league. They are not. And there aren't any teams, I believe, that do have the good quarterbacks that are willing to just give them away for free.
Mm.
So, you know, if you're looking for, gosh, I don't know, a Brock Purdy, or not even a CJ Stroud, a Bryce Young, right? Very young rookie quarterbacks that seem to be doing well in the league. You know, Jordan Love is coming into his own now in what, his fourth or fifth year. I mean, you just look around the league and you're like, well, who's out there? What's his name? Got sat. I can't even think of his name now in Denver.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson just got sat for peanuts. I don't even know what that dude's name is. But I mean, it's just, you look around the league like, all right, now what? What do we do? You know, you trade for what? You cut for what?
It's such a tough position, Jay, because you're missing on a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Sets your franchise back so far behind the bar, so far mm-hmm. behind the eight ball. So you yeah. really can't afford to miss when you make that pick. And yet, it happens every single year. Think about it. Back when I came up, 98.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. Yeah. Do you know how many people said take Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning? And look how their careers ended up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And look how bad the Chargers were for a long time, so they had to wait. They weren't really relevant again until they got Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
And that was...
Now, that's a good question, Joe. Because I don't know if Deshaun gets his job back. I mean, they're on the hook for the money. That's
for
the
all that guaranteed money he got? Oh, he's getting his job back.
Yeah. Yeah. But short leash.
Joe Flacco going to go get his ass beat in the playoffs. And they go, oh, yeah, this shit ain't going to work. We got Deshaun. Get healthy. Yeah, he'll have his job back, Joe.
Yeah, they're going to cut Russell. Because Russell is definitely getting cut. I don't know if it'll be before free agency starts, but he definitely.
I think they're going to wait till May, till that free agency thing, because it reduces something on the hit. But still, they're going to carry about $20 million of dead cap space next year because of that shit.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's all going to be a money play.
Sean Payton's overrated.
Yeah. I think we skip over those two. We'll get to the last two and then go into NBA because we're running out of time. Dalvin Cook signing with the Ravens. Big news, not so much.
Dalvin Cook, for what he did this year with the Jets, you would say no big deal. Dalvin Cook and that offense where he can be more like the Dalvin Cook that was in Minnesota, I think it's something to keep your eyes open for. And the thing is, Jay, I had a lot of your Cowboys friends chatting on some on social media to me saying that they thought that that would be a good fit for the Cowboys before he signed with the Jets. Yeah. And for him to make it past waivers, which we understand that because of the guaranteed monies that was in that contract,
mm-hmm.
everybody wanted him to clear waivers so they could pick it up and not be on the hook for that money.
Yep.
But for him not to even talk to the Cowboys, and his reason for going to Baltimore was he wanted to go be on a Super Bowl contender. Says a lot to me.
Listen, that's actually what I was just going to say. It makes sense to me that he signs with Baltimore instead of Dallas. Big James. I heard that it's going to be about 85 million a dead cap. The Broncos is going to take on. Yeah, spread out over, I believe it's
two. It is over like the next two or three. Like 1 year is not as bad, Wallace, than it take two big hits from what, you know, what I saw on the internet. And I don't know which one was true, but they talked about it on every major sports news outlet since these talks have been coming. And yeah, it's about to hurt. They're about to, the Broncos. The Broncos about to hurt. And not just that. And I know we're talking about a lot of things. We're going to move on. But right now, as a free, as a player in the NFL and seeing how things transpired, Denver would be last on my list of priorities as a free agent. That would have to, I would have to have no other options at all before I decided to go to Denver.
I don't think he has many.
No, not him. I'm just saying how it's going to affect them in free agency with other free agents this year.
Yeah,
the treatment of Russell Wilson, if that didn't open up people's eyes,
and you know what? I think we can go ahead and go into the next segment. We can talk NBA, but I think we can really go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
That's right. This is the part of the cast where we find things that happen in life and sports that make us say, oh, hell no, like the Denver situation. I have one. I know you have one, sir.
Ooh,
big Lord. Game, take it away.
Jay, I know you're going to tell me to stop looking at the ticker. Here it is again. Just a few weeks after I had to talk about North Dakota State in Oak Hill Christian College. Why? Why this time on the women's side of basketball, the Grambling State Lady Tigers.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
They
man.
Defeated the college. First of all, CBS, the College of Biblical Studies. Brace yourself. 159-18.
This is a woman's game?
159-18.
This is a woman's game?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of women they have playing at the College of Biblical Studies.
Nice.
I don't know what's going on. They must have been reading the Bible, but they must not have read about David and Goliath ever.
That's a misprint.
Dog, 159-18. Look it up.
Women don't score 159 points in a game.
No, normally all women basketball players. The thoughts of the buff nerd are those and his alone. All right. 159-18, buff nerd. Grambling State women.
They need to check them women at Grambling State.
Hey. They might be standing up. They had 122 points in the paint. Their bench combined points was 92. So they got a lot of people, a lot of experience that game. But the College of Biblical Studies, the College of Biblical Studies had 57 turnovers, bro.
College of Biblical, bro.
The College of I don't know where they are, what they consist of, what the enrollment is, but Jay Stock. They have got to stop with some of this scheduling that's going on, like North Dakota State taking on Oak Hill Christian College, and then from Sisters of the Cross or the Biblical Studies taking on Grambling State and getting beat by that many points is just straight up ridiculous, bro. Like,
oh my
that
gosh.
Is oh hell no, today, tomorrow, and next week. God dang.
I've got one for next week. It's along these lines. I have to do a little bit more research, but I'm going to get mine together for next week. Y'all make sure y'all tune in. It's going to be fantastic. So Rory is back in the news again. Rory McIlroy just can't seem to go away and has to continue to keep LIV or live golf in his mouth.
Uh-oh.
Apparently comes out and says, maybe he was a bit too harsh on the guys going to the LIV tournament. you know, their life is not mine, and they should be able to make a living playing a sport they love. Bro, don't nobody need you to say nothing. You didn't even make the cut at the Masters. Who, what? Like this dude needs to shut up. Maybe me and Tiger, we were just a little bit too harsh on the LIV guys. You know, just go sit down somewhere, bro. Just go play golf, live your life. The dude making $34 million in the tournament. He just made $34 million out of a $300 million purse. Come on, do better, be better. Do better, be better.
That's it. Jay, do you think? What's his reasoning? You think for switching it up like that, man?
Because he wants to be on the LIV tournament. He wants that money.
Okay, that's exactly. I was thinking exactly when you read that. I was like, oh, he like. I'm gonna apologize because I think I'm gonna try to go get some of that bread.
Yeah, I want some of that 300 mil. How do I get some of that 300 mil?
Damn.
Oh, stupid. Exactly. Oh, hell no. Shut up, bro. Shut up.
I know it's a little late. We're gonna skip this NBA talk.
Yeah.
We're skipping it.
Yeah.
Hey, NBA basketball. The Lakers still suck.
They're below 500. They're in tournament champions. They're in season tournament champions. They raised the banner.
I'm working on something for that too. That damn banner. hey man, lo and behold, I watched the unicorn play today. That damn Victor Wembanyama did a couple moves today for being 7'5" or whatever the hell he is. That was amazing. Like I
He's
was
nice.
Like, well, he threw it off the backboard to himself in the middle of the lane.
He did. But I'm not gonna say that he's, you know, this great, awesome, once in a generation. I actually getting tired of people saying that. Lakers are trash. I'm really getting tired of people calling people goats while they still play. They're once in a generational type player. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're really good players right now. That's what they are.
But, Jay, don't you think – well, you know why it happens. You have to have a measuring stick to greatness. So every year or every so often, reporters are going to try to crown the next GOAT.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, since the days of Bird and Magic and even before them with, you know, the Big O and Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, they have to do it. They have to do it. Should they do it? Nah.
No.
Let the game let it play itself out. Crown them when their career is over with. We'll see how it went, and you know we keep it moving. But that's we can talk about that forever. That could be a series of shows by itself, not just a show. It could be a series of shows by itself. But lo and behold, it is what it is. It's no big deal.
True. That part. So, there you go.
Go Clippers. No, I'm playing. I'm just saying that because of the Lakers fans in my house. They're going to try to fight me later.
Well, the Lakers are garbage. Well, they're not garbage because they won the in-season tournament. They're champions. Champions.
Hey, man. let's get to this top five, bro, because I know you want to get into some of these, man.
Hey, Wallace, I don't know. He might
be pull it. Okay.
What?
LeBron is taking something for him to keep performing like he is a third. I don't know. You know, they said the same thing about Ray Lewis. Wallace
and Tom Brady.
His career, the way he played in Baltimore, and definitely about Tom Brady and all the different regiments he supposedly had. I don't know what LeBron's doing. I do. So I will say this. I joke a lot about the Lakers because I'm married to a Laker fan. And our oldest son is a big Laker fan because of his mom and his grandfather and all this other stuff. So I love poking fun at them just because I do. But for LeBron to be playing the way he's playing this year, and even Anthony Davis, and for them to be struggling as bad as they are, I still don't know how a general manager can miss on the support on supporting cast to put around these people and still get away with, you know, running an organization. The Lakers were 3 of 30 from behind the arc last night against the Miami Heat. How the hell, you know, shooting has been a problem for your team and you have not addressed it in the last couple of years at all? Robert. And I know you strapped with cash because, you know, you got those two big names together. But you can go find somebody that all they do is sit out in the corner and knock down some threes. When LeBron penetrates, he can kick the ball out. But needless to say, I don't know what LeBron's taking. You know, he's got all the money you want to have all the resources to be able to stay fit, stay young. And I think you can do it without cheating. I honestly do think that you put the right regimen together, you can do it without cheating. But we all say this in the game. Father Time is undefeated.
Undefeated.
So at some point in time, I don't care what you take and do, it's going in.
It's going to come up to you.
It's going to come to an end. But yeah.
So, let's do it.
All right, Mike.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go.
That's right. This is the top five. Some people have a top 100. Some have a top 50. Some have a top 25. Some punk out and have a top 10. But here at Big Game Sports Buzz on BGSE Network, where sports and entertainment collide, no. Top five. What's in, what's out, who's in, who's out. You have to choose. No honorable mentions, anything like that here. No, sir. No, ma'am. Top five worst New Year's resolutions.
Y'all
New Year, folks.
He took a shot at me, y'all. It's okay.
Yeah. Top five worst New Year's resolutions. You going first? I mean, usually you do.
Yeah, I go first, man. First and foremost, man, you know, I had a conversation earlier, and I know you got stuff to do, we got to go, Jay. But I had a conversation with someone earlier this year about not doing New Year's resolutions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe it handicaps you in a way. And I would always come up, yeah, in the new year I'm going to do this, in the new year I'm going to do that. But I found, like with the show, I found that if I just grind it out in the moments I have free time, I can get better at what we're doing to try to help make us grow, opposed to saying, and this year I'm going to create a podcast that's going to have 1 million followers. I know it's going to take longer than that to get to that point, right? So yeah. I just think, like, New Year's resolutions aren't always realistic goals for a lot of people. Like, I'm going to read this list, and then if you need any detail of why I put it on there, hey, man, that's a good one. No, it's not, because it's too broad, too vague. All right, so
I like that, Joe. I like that. Set goals for each quarter. I like that.
Hey, that's a good one, Joe. That's a good one. I need to talk to you too. All right, anyway. I'm gonna go to the gym more. Come on, man. If you know that's not what you do and you're not gonna do it, just simply make the goal of I'm gonna start working out a couple days. And it didn't even have to be at the gym. Because we tried to go New Year's, the day after New Year's, and it looked like they were giving away free money. I was like, God damn it. Save money is another one I think is one of the worst resolutions ever. I'm more along the lines now. It's like, I'm going to do a better job of managing my money. Mm-hmm. And I think once you manage, then you can save. Because somebody's like, I'm going to save money. But if you don't ever learn how to manage money, you'll never save money. All right? Mm-hmm. Meet new people. Some of y'all know you don't like the people you already know, and you the asshole that can't get along with nobody. Quit lying, talking about you're going to go meet new people. Learn to like the people you already know and around.
I like that one.
Give up social media, because I know it's a lot. Mm. A lot of people are like, this is it. I'm clicking off for the last time. and then they go make an account under another name so they can still get the gossip and tea from everybody else. So stop lying. Talk about you're going to give them social media.
They got burned accounts.
Just have social media etiquette. You know what I'm saying? Just have social media etiquette. And then last one for me. I'm going to learn how to cook. Listen, if you're a certain age and you cannot cook already, just get that shit up. You're not going to learn how to cook. Now, if you already know how to cook and you want to make some new dishes, yeah, you can learn some new dishes. But once you get a certain age, talking about you're going to learn how to cook, you're lying to yourself, you're lying to people, because you've already been known and labeled as the person who comes to the cookout. You can only bring soda or plastic plates, paper plates. You can't bring no dish. So if you ever go, damn, why they always ask me to bring drinks and cups? Because they know your ass can't cook. So don't say you're going to learn how to cook this year. Just keep bringing my Mountain Dew to the damn cookout.
Hey. Very good, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Look, not to belabor the point, you're correct. Losing weight, that's just bad, you know. That's one. I guess you can roll it into two, is going to the gym. You're not going to go to the gym. And that's what the gym banks on. They bank on you paying for a year or it continuing on, right? But you only go for 2 to 3 months, and that's it. Yep. And then the other 9 months, you're not there. But they've already got your money. So I guess that's two for me. Take a vacation.
Why is that a bad one? Don't you need a little getaway? Don't you want to get away?
Okay, I get that. But the reality is, trying to plan and think about going on an actual vacation. Yeah, nah. Nah. Yeah, cha-ching. Some good ones, Big James. Yeah, what you don't want them cooked. Yeah, if you're learning how to cook, don't do it. Start volunteering. Listen. If you were volunteering before, you're not going to start now.
Oh, hey, man.
That's not in your heart. And that's okay. Just give your money. Pay your money.
A special person. You're right.
I'm telling you.
You're right, Jay.
Just pay your money to the organizations for people who like to do that, because you're not one of them.
Can I ask you a question, Jay, real quick?
Yeah.
Why don't people say, when somebody say, yeah, you know, I've been volunteering at the church, da-da-da, and then somebody you know might go, oh, we need to start doing that.
Why we?
Somebody you know.
Why say somebody you know?
We friends.
You know what? That sounds like a good idea. That's something we should do. Is it?
That's a good one.
And then finally, start being on time to work. Listen. This goes with the volunteering thing. If you weren't on time, you ain't been on time, everybody knows that you're not on time. If you have to put that as a resolution, you're not going to be on time. You're not going to be on time.
Dude.
That's what you are.
That's a good one, Jay. Because I know some brothers, I told them they're going to be late till their damn funeral. And like I said, your body's going to get drugged down the aisle. Like, we forgot to put him in the casket.
Shit. You're just not on time. That is you. We know this. I have a friend. Listen, you know, we call that person en route. I'm not going to say his name, but he knows who it is if he ever decides to watch this, even though he calls himself my friend. But yes, his name is en route because he's always en route.
Damn.
We already there. He's en route. That part. It is what it is. But hey, what are your top five worst New Year's resolutions that you've heard, or maybe that you put down yourself? Put them in the comments. We love to respond to them.
Love, love, love. please share those with us.
Yeah. Yeah. And we definitely want to hear that. Love having you here. 100. Keeping it there. So glad, so proud to be a part of BGSE Network and to know that guy over there, Big Game James. He is a diamond in the rough for sure.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. I'm the Buff Nerd, Jay Stogg. Let's go.
And I'm Big Game James. Thank y'all for tuning in. And until next time, peace.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game.